You ever have those moments where whether you're at work or you're on the treadmill or you're cooking and you just think about the goodness of God and it just gets you excited. It makes you want to do whatever you're doing harder. It makes you want to do whatever you're doing better. I have those moments because we serve a really great and a mighty God. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about something that God really hit me with something earlier this week as I was talking to a young man. I was sharing with him some of the things that he needs to do in relationship to his family. And one of the things that I had said to him, and it really kind of, you know, hit me, God really told me to tell him to get out of his feelings and into his faith. Get out of your feelings and into your faith. So this morning, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You hear me refer to one of these verses specifically quite often because when I read it the first time, it was really, really powerful what the Apostle Paul had said to the church at Corinth. But nonetheless, we're going to revisit that today, and we're going to use my notes a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about what God is really saying here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to read the first through the seventh verse. The first through the seventh verse. Now, while you're turning your Bibles there, remember, we're going to do a quick background of who Paul is so we can kind of understand the background. Paul is an apostle. Now, one thing I did not know that I'm still learning over here, that every book in this Bible in the New Testament was written by every author of the books in the New Testament or the canon of Scripture had some association with it. If not, they were apostles. They either had an association with apostle or they were an apostle. In this case, Paul here, what's formerly known as Saul, is now an apostle. So you really kind of see how God takes something or someone who, as Paul refers to himself, as the chief of sinners at times, and God does something really dynamic in his life. And one thing I was sharing with my wife, it was either earlier this week or the end of last week, one thing I find really interesting about Paul's ministry and Paul's conversion, you know how sometimes that in order for you to get to this place called surrendering to God, you have to have one of those desperate moments, you have to have one of those bottom of the barrel or down in the deep valley moments in order for God to do some things, and then you kind of see God for who he is. That wasn't Paul's testimony. Paul had went around at the time, going around persecuting Christians, throwing some in jail for their faith, and he was literally on his way to doing that again on the road to Damascus, and he heard the voice that says, "Why dost thou persecute me?" And so in other words, Paul gets up, and we're going to kind of, this is the wave tops. He ends up getting up, not being able to see, gets instructions from God where to go and who to talk to. He does that, and then there's the beginning of his ministry, realistically. His conversion took place just like that. Imagine what we would do if we just responded to the voice of God. Why do we always wait for those bottom-of-the-barrel moments? Why do we got to wait till we hit rock bottom before we start to recognize who God is and follow his instructions? Paul says, even though I didn't believe in this God, even though I didn't follow this God, even though I persecuted this God, I'm not dumb enough to not recognize that voice sounds different from everybody else. I'm not ignorant to the fact that I've been hearing the word preached in the synagogues as I was waiting for them to get out of church to persecute him. The very things they were talking about, I recognized in that voice. So I was able to recognize God even in my ignorance of God. That's what Paul was. And I find it really, really significant because, like I said, a lot of times we have to go through it to surrender, don't we? We make God put us through it. Twist our arms, legs, neck, shoulder, and everything just to get us to do the things that we're supposed to do, just to listen to the instructions that God has given us. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting the first verse, says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So Paul is talking about this thing of sanctification, recognizing that he's got issues. Anybody got issues? I'm talking to those who ain't got it all figured out. I'm talking to those who sometimes life happens to you. Sometimes the flesh happens to you. Paul says that, you know, we got to recognize first and foremost that there is an action that must take place on our own self. It's called, we call it in the Marine Corps, knowing yourself and seeking self-improvement. Spiritually, knowing where you are in your walk, knowing the things that you need to take care of and attending to those type of things. Remember, we often talk about sometimes we don't attend to our issues because we don't call them issues. Remember, when you start calling things a problem, you start to look at them like it's a problem and you act like it's a problem. And so you treat it differently. You treat it differently. And so sometimes we got to be real with ourselves. We got to look and say, you know, Josh got some problems. Josh has not been completely delivered with this one thing over here. And when I recognize that and I call that what it is, an issue, a sin, or just a place I don't want to be at in my life, it causes me to give more attention to it. And hopefully, it causes me to address those type of things. And, you know, the reality of it is I know that I can't fix it on my own. I know that I can do my part and then trust that God is going to also do his part. Because the reality of it is the flesh is still going to desire the things that the flesh wants to desire. But how many know that it's the strength of the Spirit that helps us to what? Overcome the desires of the flesh. Now notice, I didn't say the flesh isn't going to still long and yearn for those things. But the willingness of the Spirit will eventually overpower and should overpower the desires, the yearning of the flesh. Me and my wife is on this new diet. Now she done put me on a 1400 calorie diet, brother. Yeah, that's what I said. My sister said, "Ooh, yes." I was originally supposed to be on a 2,000 calorie diet because I'm trying to get back. Y'all been hearing me talking about being in the gym since November. I've been faithful since November. Since November. I thought you was a Marine. I've been faithful in the gym since November. Now, I used to PT on a regular basis, but not the gym. You know, so here I am in the gym, and I'm trying to cut down a little bit. You know, trying to get my body attractive again for the wife. So I said, you know, I can't just work out. It's got to be more than the workout because your diet is important too. And that's the spiritual message within itself. You can't just play church or try to walk this Christian walk without spiritually feeding yourself, without putting the right things in you. And everything that you see in front of you ain't good for you to eat. And it's also about eating it in abundance. So what I found out is I had to get on this diet, and it was more about my water intake and, you know, less of the sugary drinks. And I'm hungry quite often. I am. Those first couple of weeks, it was rough. It was rough because you go from eating all this fried food, just really much kind of eating whatever you want to. But then when you get on this diet, it's rough those first couple of weeks. But what I realized is that it's about really realizing that there was a cleansing process that my body had to go through. And before you know it, you'll start to see results. And when you start to see those results, what does it do? It motivates you to continue on, to stay the course. Anybody seen those spiritual results in your life and it motivated you to continue on in the faith? Because you had that encounter with somebody, it's like, oh, Lord, Jesus, if God is really doing something in my life. Because I did not respond to this the way that I used to respond to this. But I'm going to Bible study again tonight because you're doing some wonders. Because I couldn't, I remember when I tried it myself. But Paul says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. He says, in what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Why are we? What is your motivation behind it? Is it to be a good person? I asked an individual the other day. I said, why should you? First and foremost, where do you want to be at next cycle we start working? He said, I want to be in this position. I said, well, why? And then you hear, well, because I've done this and I've done that. It's a sense of entitlement. But what is your real motivation for the elevation? What is your real motivation for doing the things that God has asking you to do or requiring of us to do? Is it because of what he can give to you, or is it simply because he's just God? Because we got to get beyond the, well, because God, if you give to me, because then that makes us a conditional believer. How many know that our faith should not be affected by the conditions? The faith should not be affected by the storms that you have in your life, the troubles that you have in your life. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's going to make you question faith sometime. But the reality of it is that if we're walking away from God every time we get into a little bump or the turbulence picks up or when the rain starts to pour down in your life harder than what it did the last time, could I have been a conditional believer? Could I have been a conditional believer? Did you not know that you were going to go through some things? Who didn't know that? We see it all in Scripture. You look at every apostle, every minister. Come on, brother. And I told y'all, y'all know how I feel about Paul. Paul was better when he wasn't saved. That brother got to know God and he got thrown in jail. That brother got to know God and he got beat up. His life was good before he got saved. Anybody remember them days? When you look back and sometimes your flesh will tempt you on it. It's like, I remember all them good times that I had before I became a church boy. Before I became a church girl, before I started going to church, before I started committing to this thing called a relationship with God, I used to have a good old time. Things are a little different now. I really wasn't going through things like I am now. It just seems like when I got into God, it seems like an old hurricane came through my life. But how many knows that it's those the friction points in your life that makes you stronger? Now, I shared this with a young man a few months ago, and I reminded another young man yesterday morning when he was talking to me about, you know, how he's doing in his new job and how he's having some struggling points, some issues with, you know, leading his peers. I said, but brother, understand this. Let's go back to the gym for a moment. In order for me to get stronger, I got to put on more weight. I got to increase the resistance in my life. In order for me to get stronger spiritually, I got to go up against bigger and badder lions and bears. Because when I overcome them lions and bears, I have the strength to overcome the next group of lions and bears. Those friction points, that heavy weight, is what builds my muscle. It's what helps me to lift the heavier weight as I'm continuing to grow. If I want to get stronger, I got to be able to push more weight. I got to attempt to push more weight. I can't just look and say, you know, I'm a go easy today. And that's what we do sometimes spiritually. We say, you know what, let me pick up these 35s. I ain't going to fool with the 50s today. That's too much work. Oh, that's too much work. I ain't trying to do all that. I'm just trying to stay in shape. I'm just trying to get a little sweat going. But we want great increase, but we don't want to pick up the heavy weight. We don't want to put in the work. We don't want the friction. But understand that we do these things for God in reverence. The word fear, it's not that you're afraid of, but respect for God. Paul says in verse 2, receive us. He's talking to the church of Corinth here. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Who can say that today? Amen. I'm excited about all of the things that I've been through, all those rough spots, those rough patches, the rough waters that I've experienced in my life. Paul says in verse 5, for when we were come into Macedonia, I like this, our flesh had no rest. Anybody know them days? Let me put my hand high in the sky. I can't put the mic in the sky because you won't be able to hear me, but I got two hands up. I remember them days. I'm still living those days where the flesh has no rest. But, he says, we were troubled on every side. And I love this part of this verse. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Verse 6, Paul says, nevertheless, God. Anybody got those nevertheless God moments? Paul says, nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, he did what? He comforted us by the coming of Titus. Last verse, verse 7 says, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. So let's go back to verse 5. Paul says what? For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. We had talked about here briefly a few moments ago, understanding in this life, you are going to go through some challenges. You'll go through challenges in your marriage. You'll go through challenges on your job. You'll go through challenges in your friendships. We're going to go through challenges in ministry. We're going to go through challenges with our kids. I talked to a good friend of mine the other day, and he was telling me how, you know, his 18-year-old son just keeps running away. He drops out of school the whole nine yards. I don't know if I'm ready for that, sis. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But we go through challenges as parents. You're going to go through challenges in your life. It happens. The question is, how do we react? Do we react according to our feelings? And do we forget about the faith at times? And sometimes, let's be real. Can we be real today? Sometimes it is easier to find ourselves walking in the flesh because of our feelings. So I had a long conversation with a young man this week, and I had to put on the first sergeant, the drill instructor, and the pastor hat all at the same time. Because he attends the service that I have on base. He's also one of my Marines in hotel company, and I was his drill instructor. He's got the triple hat from me. And so because of that, sometimes I talk to him like he's one of my kids. And I do that on purpose because I care about him. I care about all the Marines that I have underneath me. But I had a long conversation with him of the importance of not, you know, acting according to our feelings. Because how many know that your feelings has caused you to ruin relationships that you were supposed to be in? I ain't talking about marriages. In some cases, it has been that too. But just relationships with people. All because your feelings got in the way. I don't feel like talking to that individual. I don't feel like seeing that individual. I don't feel like dealing with that person today. I don't feel like hearing that person's mouth today. Sometimes we will tiptoe around people on the job going to go see our boss because we don't feel like hearing what he or she has to say. We mess around and miss out on our blessings because we don't feel like hearing what the pastor's going to talk about on Sunday mornings. We don't feel like getting up ministering with the praise team from time to time because we're tired of singing the same songs. We don't feel like coming in and getting your blessing with the praise and worship team because you don't feel like they're singing the songs you want to hear. Feeling has caused people to miss out on a lot. Here's what God shared with me this morning. He says, feelings will have me to do that which is foolish to God. But faith will have me to do that which is foolish to man. Somebody's going to catch this. Listen, your feelings will have you to do those things that are foolish to God. God will look down at us and be like, what are you doing? Y'all had a moment with people in your life? They tell you some stuff like, what were you thinking? Who does that? Y'all know how I say it. My mommy said, where they doing that at? God be looking down at Joshua and be like, where are they doing that at? Ain't nobody up here in heaven taught you that. You ain't read that in nobody's scripture. I know Paul didn't write that in one of his epistles. I know one of the apostles didn't write that in one of the gospels. Where are they doing that at, son? Oh, so-called son. Where are they doing that at? But what? Your faith will have you do those things that people say, why would you do that? What do you mean you're going to pay your tithes as opposed to paying your rent? They're going to put you out, girl. It don't make no sense. It doesn't make sense for you to just go to God opposed to going to this doctor and that doctor. You go do all of those things. Don't worry about God. God ain't done nothing for you. The world will have you to believe those type of things. The world will tell you, nah, don't help that individual over there. It's not safe. That's what the world will have you do. But faith tells you what? To go out and do those things that are crazy. I don't know about you, but I've had those experiences in my life. Those things that are not reasonable to man. Those things that don't make sense, that make us look crazy. You know, people ever look at you crazy when you start to tell them the things you do for God? The non-believers? Because how many of us realize that, you know, the preaching is what? For the foolish. The very things that we do. Could you imagine those disciples when the multitude was about to turn away? Jesus said, nah, we can't send them away hungry. They're looking like, brother, we got two fish and five loaves of bread. What are they doing this at? Who gonna feed these people? We're two fish and five loaves of bread. I can't even feed my family with two fish and five. You know how hungry them kids are at the house? They eat up everything in the pantry. Y'all see? I'm gonna have a side point. Yeah, but in the house with kids, kids are always eating something. Don't they? They just stay in the pantry. It's like it's a hobby. Kids be just eating. Oh, but bless their little heart. They just be growing. That's what it is. They're growing. That's them growing hungers. But could you imagine the disciples when Jesus says, sit the people down. What we got? Two fish and five loaves of bread. That's enough. That's enough. How many know that whatever God blesses, he stretches? You don't need a whole lot according to man. You just need enough for God. You let God do the rest. The Lord, the words is what he had, took the bread and he blessed it. He gave thanks over it, and they had what? They had leftovers. That's crazy to man. He didn't do that just once. He did it twice. Twice. When they looked out there, you remember when Peter says, Lord, if that's you, ask me to step out on the water. Who can get out this boat? Let's be real. Not everybody here can swim. I'm not a swimmer like that. I can swim enough to save my life. Brother, they was talking about some CrossFit challenge the other day, telling me you got to do a 700-meter open water swim in the ocean. I said, who doing that? You lost me right there. Ain't nobody swimming in no ocean. You know, they got sharks in there. I ain't signing up for that. No. No. Walk on the water. Get out this boat. No, sir. No, sir. Jesus, I'm not going to ask you to do that. You ain't got to prove that to me. That's you. That is you. I'll figure out when you get on the boat. But, you know, it's crazy when you start to look at the things that God is doing in your life. But those are just what I call those God moments. That when you look at it, it couldn't have been anything but God. And that's what I like about him. God will make you sweat sometimes, but he gets you to that place where he gets the what? Undeniable credit. That undeniable credit. You remember Lazarus? Jesus had to get undeniable credit for Lazarus. Paul says this right here. When we look at simply this, feelings will have me to do that which is foolish to God, but faith will have me to do those things which is foolish to man. Understand this. Paul says that if I live to please man, I would not be serving God. Understand this. The scripture is not only referring to the man around Paul. He's also talking about the man within. Your faith will have you do those things that are even foolish to you sometimes. It don't make no sense. Lord, why would you ask me to do that? This ain't gonna work. I've seen you do some things, but I ain't seen you do that thing. I've heard about you doing some things, but I haven't heard about you doing that thing. I don't know if this is gonna work out. It don't look like it's gonna work out. What if it don't work out? But how many of us understand it? It's not about even pleasing ourselves. If we're living to please ourselves, which is the flesh, we are not serving God. That's what Paul is getting at. Sometimes we read that scripture and we think about going around trying to do things to put a smile on my sister's face over here or my sister's face over there or my brother's face over here. Paul is going beyond that. What about the smile on your face? Sometimes it's about denying the very things that you want and walking to the things that God wants. Because that's what it's about. That's about pleasing God. Pleasing God is sometimes disappointing yourself. We don't want to hear that one. Pleasing God is sometimes about even disappointing yourself. And sometimes you're going to want to participate into some things that you're not going to be able to participate in. God said, that ain't for you. I know what you used to do, and I know what joy it used to bring you. But that ain't for you no more. What I often tell people, and you hear us talk about this all the time in ministry, let me explain something to you. We almost got to wrap this up. So yesterday was one of the roughest moments in my life as a Marine. I found out through Facebook that I had lost a Marine that I was his drill instructor. Like back in 2007, 2008, he got killed in Afghanistan in 2015, but I just found out yesterday. So to me, it just happened yesterday. But as I was looking on Facebook, one of the things I used to tell my Marines, and this was my own personal principle that I came up with. I told them, I said, at a minimum, I have to live up to the standard of being a Marine, but I strive to set higher standards. I want the Marine Corps to look at me and say, you know what? Well, First Sergeant Tolles is the epitome of what I want all Marines to be like him. So if he does 30 pull-ups, that's a new standard because he is what I want everyone to be like. So we strive to set higher standards. We strive to be better fathers, better husbands, better wives, all those type of things. And so I've been pouring that into my recruits as a drill instructor and throughout my Marine Corps career. And I'm looking on Facebook, and really what drew my attention, this is how I found out about him. I just saw this post that said, live, strive. And that's how I used to put it to the recruits, just live, strive. And anytime I see those things on Facebook and they're like mutual friends, I know that there was somebody I was connected to. But then I go on this Facebook page and I see there's t-shirts, there are bracelets with live, strive on it. His family members have all this, his church, the community has these shirts that have live, strive on it. And then I see a picture of his grave. And his tombstone had live, strive on it. It broke me down. It broke me down. Because you never know how far you really reach people. I didn't realize then. I thought I was just pouring into the young man, the Marine. I didn't know that word was going to go out into the communities. That he was going to live his life based off of a principle that God had given me, even when I wasn't even living saved. He lived his life according to that. And how do I know that? Because that's how everyone in his life remembers him. It's just live, strive. And it makes you really take a step back and understand as a believer, as in leadership positions, you can't afford to get it wrong. Because your reach goes far beyond just the little one. The things that you say to this little one right here goes into her class, those other students. It goes into the church because she's going to go back and she's going to repeat the things that she heard from her mom. She's going to repeat the things that she heard from her camp counselor. Whatever different roles that we have. We can't afford to get this thing wrong because imagine if I was teaching some foolishness. If I was teaching some craziness out there. This is what he would have been living his life. And that's what would have been on his tombstone, some foolishness. But I was just taken back. I've never been like that before in my life. But it really hit me. Because you take for granted the impact that your life has on the lives of others. We take for granted the impact that our lives have on the lives of others. So we can't afford to be wrapped up into our feelings all the time. Here is what the feelings did. Feelings led Saul to sin, trying to please the people. Saul left his anointing opposed to following the voice of God. But faith led Abraham to righteousness. Following his faith led him to righteousness. Feelings led two criminals to the cross. Remember the two criminals that was crucified with Christ? But faith saved one at the cross. Your feelings will lead you into some of the worst places in your life, but your faith will deliver you while you're in there. You're never too far gone that God can't grab you. If you would just repent and believe, it's the faith. And lastly, feelings are based on what I can simply see, but faith is based on what I can spiritually see. You might not be all that you want to be right now in your life. You might not be all that even God has called you to be because you know where you're coming up short. But the question is, can you spiritually see where you're supposed to be? Sometimes we look at just the now. We look at what's right in front of us. And we make decisions based on what we do see right here. We base our decisions on what we call the facts. So we don't go see our kids at times because of the feelings that we have with our wife. We don't go and talk to this other individual because we don't want to interact with this other individual because of our feelings. But faith says what? Sometimes you got to see those things that are not as though they are. You got to see those things that are not as though they are. You got to see. You already have to see yourself as that which God has called you to be, even though you might not be walking in it. You got to see yourself in that area. Because here's the reality. Stop worrying about what other people see. Because people see what they want to see. And sometimes people just don't want to see you successful. Sometimes people don't want to see you delivered. It don't matter what other people see you as. It matters what God sees you as. Remember the word says, oh, everybody walked past them. They left them in their blood. They was just nasty and disgusted. But God says, when I walked past them, I saw something beautiful. He says, and I picked them up and I cleaned them off. And I dressed you in royalty. Bedazzled you. God sees something totally different from what man sees. Oh, and what if we only just saw ourselves the way that God sees us, as the powerful woman of God that he has called you to be, regardless of what your issues are, the things that everyone says disqualifies you, because it's those disqualifying factors that makes you qualified. God says, oh, uh-uh. You know, I tell my Marines, don't ever mistake great leadership for your eye for good leadership. See, it's easy to look at the individual who's already running the good course and pick them and say, you know what, I've made them where they are. But great leadership is for you to take that individual who is broke, busted, disgusted, rusted, and banana crusted, and you pick that individual up and you give them purpose. And you walk the walk with them. You take the journey with them, and the journey is sometimes it's long and it's frustrating. But it's worth it. That's what ministry is about. It's not about getting connected with the saint who's already got it together. It's about the one who is, everybody thinks they just ain't got right and can't get right. It's about getting with the can't get rights and pouring into them and loving on them. I get so frustrated sometimes with ministry. We look at people so different who ain't in the ministry. But Jesus didn't come for those who are already healed. Those who aren't sick and do not need a physician. Our feelings say, you know what, this is the way that we're supposed to go. But faith says, you know what, I'm looking for those who are struggling. Because those are the people who need me. Those are the people who need my company. The people that nobody else will talk to. The people that nobody else will deal with. The people that everyone else thinks they got the spiritual cooties. That's who we are supposed to be connecting ourselves to. That's what faith tells us. Faith tells us that in my sister, I see something greater. So because I see something greater, I treat her as the greater that I see. Not what was standing right in front of me. Because sometimes they are the way that they are because of how you see them. Sometimes it breaks my heart when we're in positions where we have come out of some things and how we're so quick to forget where we came from. And we look at people and we say, they're just so pathetic. They ain't got it. They're not going to make it. I tell it to my guys at work. Stop telling these recruits that they can't do. They came from a past of can't do's. They came from a history of people telling them they couldn't make it, that they weren't going to make it, that this is not for them. But all sometimes people just need that one person that's going to see them differently. Look, I know what your mama told you your whole life, but I don't see that. God gave me some different lenses. And what I see is prosperity. I see a strong man of God. I see I see hope. I see a bright future. And just imagine if we started treating people like the future that they're supposed to be in. Oh, look at how their confidence changes. But because they hear it from so many people, they start to believe the lie. They get caught up into their feelings and not walking according to our faith. So today is different. No longer are we going to walk in our feelings, but we're going to get out of our feelings and into our faith. Today we're going to get out of our feelings and into our faith. With every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, God knows exactly where each and every one of us is. He knows where your relationship status is with Him is. He even knows the desires of your heart. I'm here to tell you this morning that there's nothing that God cannot do. No matter how far you may have drifted, God's arms are not too short that He cannot reach out and grab you. And in fact, this moment, He is reaching out to you. He's calling you back this morning, this moment. A few weeks ago, we talked about Matthew chapter 24. Remember that the Bible reminds us that no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man will return, that the day of the Lord will be upon us, that the wrath of God will be what we're facing. Do not wait thinking that you have more time. Do not wait thinking that tomorrow is promised to you, that these next few hours are promised to you. This moment, if you don't have a relationship with God, if you cannot say without a shadow of a doubt, if you're not confident in this one thing, and let's go for the jugular here, that you are considered perfect in the eyes of God, meaning that you are without sin, not sinning less than what you did yesterday, but that you're without sin. This moment can change. The sin that you had before you walked in here, you don't have to walk out of here with. You don't have to go into the next 10 minutes of your life with the same sin that you had the 10 minutes prior to. That's the God that we serve, whose forgiveness is incomprehensible. Lord, how could you forgive somebody like me? God, I've been running for so many years. I've been doing so much dirt. There's no way that I can get this thing together. I'm only here because somebody brought me here this morning. Don't believe the lie. Get out of your feelings and into your faith. I believe this morning, because God's word says if you repent and believe, thou shalt be saved. So, Father God, I come before you this morning. And I pray right now, God, that you do a mighty work in the lives of your people this very moment. Suppressing feelings, oh God. And dealing with our faith. We're praying that by faith, this very moment, relationships are restored with you. We're praying that by faith, relationships are established with you. By faith, there is a change that is taking place in the lives of your people right now. By faith, all that was lost is now found. By faith, your people can hear your voice louder than ever before. By faith, we are saved this morning. So God, we open up our hearts to you and we confess those things that you already know about. You know the amount of times that we cussed somebody out. You know about the unforgiveness that we have in our hearts this very moment. You know about the hatred that we're still battling. We understand that this thing with feelings versus faith is nothing but a spiritual warfare. It's a war between the flesh and the spirit. And this morning, God, we're declaring victory on the spiritual side. those things that I don't look like I'm claiming to be right now. I am saved. I am delivered. I am not a sinner. Paul says that we all sinned. I'm in that category. I'm in the sinned category this morning. This moment, I'm in the sinned category. And I'm stepping into righteousness. Because of my fear of you, my reverence and my respect of you, this moment, I'm righteous. Lord, if you come right now, I'm ready. I'm ready, not by my works, Lord, but just like Abraham, my faith was counted to me for righteousness because I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he did on the cross, that he died for my sins. And 3 days later, he rose again. God, I am saved. I'm yours. These are the things that we confess and we declare this morning. In your darling Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.